Who's ready for the message today? I'm really excited about this message. So, Father, Lord, we've all had a big week and a busy week, and some have been watching football as well. But we're here today, and we just pray, Lord, for your word. And we pray, Lord, that your word will minister to people. But, Lord, we pray for our own hearts and our own minds that, Lord, we'll be open to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The title of today's message is Mind the Gap. Some of you are familiar with that, right? When you catch a train in London, and Rochelle and I will be going to visit Jared again during the month of September and spend 3 weeks with him, and we'll be on the tube, and no doubt we'll hear the announcer saying, "Mind the Gap." Hey, who remembers, actually, in Perth, that person who didn't mind the gap, and they got their leg caught down between the train and the platform, and then everybody got off the train and they pushed it to lean it over, and he got free. Wow, that was great, yeah. But in London, all the time they're saying, mind the gap, because you don't want to fall in the gap between the train and the platform. Obviously you don't. So I hope that you'll agree later that mind the gap was a good title for today's message. Mind the Gap. Can we say it together?
Mind the Gap.
And today's message is going to be built upon two Psalms, Psalm 23 and Psalm 1. And many of us are familiar with both Psalms. And so I'm going to begin by reading Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is prophetic. It actually describes the blessed and rich life of a follower of Jesus Christ. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside still waters. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil." That's the Holy Spirit. "And my cup overflows with blessings. Absolutely. And surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell." Amen. Praise God. What a beautiful psalm. Last Sunday, some of you perhaps weren't here, but last Sunday, I just want you to know what we touched on. We looked at how Jesus Christ, while on the cross, took upon himself the curses that we carried because of our sin and rebellion against God. And so we can say today that Jesus Christ is the curse breaker. I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is the curse breaker. You might feel that your life is cursed and you're looking for solutions. Well, the solution is Jesus. Jesus Christ is a curse breaker. Jesus sets people free. But that's not all. While on the cross, God took the blessings that were upon Jesus and are upon Jesus, and they made them available. God made them available to repentant sinners. There was an exchange, our curses for God's blessing. Who remembers us talking about that last week? Who can't even remember what they did yesterday? Yeah, that's what we spoke about. There's that exchange. So we can say that Jesus is a curse breaker, but we can also say that Jesus Christ is the restorer of blessings and favor. Therefore, if you're united to Jesus Christ, then you are a new creation. And so therefore, because you're a new creation, you are favored and you are blessed by God. You're not cursed, everybody. I'll say it again. You're not cursed. You're blessed by God. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful, poetic description of the life that Jesus came to give to those people who've placed their faith in Jesus. And so let's just join the dots here. Psalm 23 is a beautiful description of the life that Jesus has come to give to you, because you've put your faith in Jesus. It was written 3,000 years ago. But it's still prophetic and is a picture of the life that God has for you today. Jesus is your good shepherd. Jesus is the provider for your needs. There is a table filled with a feast of blessings prepared for you and for me by God Himself. There is. Goodness and unfailing love are available to you all the days, and to me all the days of our lives. Amen. Some people talk about bad luck that is pursuing them. We don't talk about bad luck. We talk about the goodness and the blessings of God pursuing us through our life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So hopefully you get encouraged when you come to church. Hopefully you get encouraged when the preacher, who will remain nameless, but he's standing in front of you right now. You know, I hope you do get encouraged. That's what I'm trying to do at the moment. I'm trying to encourage you. When you are reminded of God's favor and kindness, it's always encouraging. Come on, you know, you had a bad week, you hear about God's goodness. Hallelujah, I feel encouraged. But then Monday comes and you've got to get up out of bed. Some of you would rather not do that. But Monday comes and you've got to face doing life. And sometimes, if you're honest, you may wonder about the blessed life that you heard described at Real Life Church. And you may wonder where the blessed life disappeared to when you're facing the daily grind. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on. You know, when the kids, now we don't have kids anymore, but we're still recovering. Amen. When the kids are playing up, you know, or when you forgot to put fuel in the tank. And you're in a hurry, you know, and you've got to get to work, and you know, your clothes need ironing, you forgot to do it. You know, life can be difficult at times. Amen. Sometimes it can be difficult in a serious way too, can't it? And then you may ask, and I think it's a valid question, why is there a gap between what God has blessed me with, as described in Psalm 23, and what I actually experience in my everyday life? How come, Pastor Dave, you know, you talk about the blessings of God, and it's great, it's all in the Bible, but how come there is this gap between what we talk about and what we read about in the Bible in Psalm 23 and what happens when I get up on a Monday morning? So, some of you might even go further and ask, why is my life such a mess? You know, you might say, why don't I ever seem to have the victory? Some may even go further and say things like, why am I unable to pay my bills? How come I have no peace? Or how come I don't have any friends? Or other people might go even further indeed. They might say something like, how come I always just feel yuck? And some may even wonder, because of these experiences I have on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but not Sunday, because I come to church on Sunday, I mean, but does that mean then that God has forsaken me? I know we've got Psalm 23, but my experience, you know, does it mean God's forsaken me? Or does it mean that God hates me? You know, because I'm not the best Christian. Does it mean God hates me or has got a grudge against me? Or does it mean that God is holding His blessings back away from me? And this might be how you feel. It might be how you occasionally feel. And it's good to be honest about these things, I think. So it's good to be honest about your feelings so that we can address these things. But the fact is, God hasn't forsaken you, whoever you are, whether you're a good Christian or a bad Christian. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And He doesn't hate you. Absolutely not. He died on the cross for you. He doesn't hate you. God loves you dearly, and he's also not holding back on any blessings. On the contrary, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with just a few spiritual blessings." Come on, what's the key word there, everybody? Every. Come on, he's not holding back. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. God has given his every blessing and favor to you. And he's not taken them back. Not at all. So why do we have this gap? And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I think there are two main reasons why we have this gap. And both are very resolvable. Two main reasons why we feel there is a gap between what God has blessed us with through the death of Jesus and what we experience in our everyday lives. Firstly, remember that God's favor and blessings are given to us in the context of us all living in a fallen and cursed world. You are not yet perfect. My wife's pretty close, amen. It was her birthday yesterday. And she just gets better and better with age. Amen. But this comes as a shock. She's not perfect. And I'm less perfect. And sometimes we make dumb decisions, don't we? Plus, we live in a world where we have the devil opposing us because we belong to Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. We'll just have that up on the screen. Yeah, there we go. In the world, you will have trouble. But he also said, take heart because I have overcome the world. So it's really important that we understand that God has never promised a perfect, pain-free journey here in this world. We will have that when we get to heaven. But this place that Psalm 23 was talking about is not heaven. We know that because he says he's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. There are no enemies in heaven. Psalm 23 is for today. But it's not going to be pain-free. But God has given blessing to you and joy to you, and victory to you while you navigate through this fallen, hurting world. And in the ups and downs of life, God's favor still stands, and God is working on your behalf, even when your feelings tell you otherwise. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2, is such a beautiful passage. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you." This is God speaking. He says, "I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. It's okay. Some of you right now are going through really difficult situations. It's okay. You're going to come through. You're not going to drown, okay? When you walk through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. It might get hot, but you're coming through. The flames will not consume you because God's eye is on you and you belong to him. And he brings you through and then he's going to vindicate you. He will restore your losses." And we call that divine blessing acting upon you in a world that is cursed. Everybody good with all of that? But it's actually the second reason that I want to talk about. There is a second reason as to why there is a gap between what God has blessed us with and what we may experience in our everyday life. And this second reason is something that we all wrestle with. The reason why sometimes there is a gap between what the Bible says God has blessed us with and what we experience in our everyday life is a result of ourselves engaging in stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. And I know I say this a lot here at Real Life Church, and I will keep saying it. Your greatest battles, brothers and sisters, take place between your ears. Your greatest battles in your Christian life take place in your mind and in your thoughts. The greatest enemy that you face is not the devil, and it's not people, and it's not even your daily problems. Your enemies that could do the most damage to you and your walk with the Lord are the lies, the half-truths, and the incorrect thoughts that float around in your thinking. These wrong thoughts generate wrong beliefs that then put a lid on your faith and your ability to receive the blessings that God has extended to you. And the same for me. Incorrect thinking, stinking thinking limits you. It pushes you down and it stifles your God-given potential. That's where the battleground is. It's always between your ears. And the Bible says, Satan, who is a god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan always targets the mind with lies because the Bible says he is the father of lies. And that is our problem. That is the problem. You can't receive salvation when your mind is full of stinking thinking that distorts the truth about God and His mercy. The penny doesn't drop. And neither can you receive healing or peace or breakthrough when your mind is full of mistruths about God's purpose for you. Stinking thinking blinds you to what God is able and willing to do in your life. That's why the Bible encourages us to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We all understand about the value of keeping our bodies healthy. Whether we do or not is another matter. But we all understand about the value of keeping our bodies healthy. And that's a good thing. We need to do it. I'm all up for that. But you know, you can eat as much healthy food as you want. You can exercise and go to the gym as often as you wish. But listen to me, everybody. Listen. You can do all of that. But worry and anxiety can still send you to an early grave, no matter how fit your body is. We need to pay attention to having a healthy mind filled with good thoughts as well as having a healthy body. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, and I love this, and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I think that's a great piece of advice, everybody. Amen. So the truth is, God, at great cost to Jesus, has blessed us richly. That's a fact. But when your thought life is filled with mistruths about God, mistruths about yourself, and mistruths about your circumstances, then you're going to have this gap between what God has blessed you with and your everyday experiences. So you've got to mind the gap. Amen. You've got to mind the gap. And thank God that you can. Psalm 23 introduces us to the blessed life available for us today. But Psalm 1 shows us a two-step way in which we can close the gap between what God has blessed us with in Psalm 23 and what we experience in our everyday lives. And so we've got it on the screen there. This is just verse 1 of Psalm 1. It says this, blessed. So we're talking about walking in God's blessing, amen. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The first verse that we just read there from Psalm 1 is actually all about your mind diet. It's about the food that you feed into your minds that you pick up from other people. A bit later today, I'm going to eat some food. In fact, I'm going to have a cake, piece of cake, amen. And it will go in there, amen, and it will be good for me. You know, natural food, we understand that. We need it for energy and all of that. But you know, there's food for your mind as well. And we can pick up mind food from the people we hang out with. There is a saying that goes like this: you are what you eat. Yeah, absolutely. And that is really applicable to what we put into our minds. We are what we eat. We are what we watch. We are what we listen to. We are what we put into our minds. The words that we listen to, the images that we look at, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the books that we read, the people's behavior that we observe and sometimes imitate, the people we hang out with. Choose your friends wisely, everybody, amen. And even our own experiences in life, all of these things impact our opinions about God, about church, and about ourselves. And these sources of mind food, they either encourage or they impede our ability to step into the blessings that Jesus Christ has provided for us. For example, yesterday I met with a group of some of our young people, just four of our young men. By the way, we've got delightful young men in this church. I was so impressed with them. We met at McDonald's and ate some good food at McDonald's. Amen. They haven't heard about healthy bodies when they're young. But we got into this conversation. They started talking about their education, which kind of took me by surprise the way they spoke. And this is what the young guys said to me. They said, someone needs to stand up in church. I'm doing it now. And say to all the other young people in church that even if you fail at school, it does not mean that you're a dumb person. Amen. And it doesn't mean that you can't get a good job. No matter what the school says to you or your teacher says to you. And these young fellas, they told me about other educational pathways to achieve employment success. Real smart group of guys. And I like their attitude. And so I'm going to meet with them again at McDonald's. Amen. But I say thank God for positive Christian young people who think outside the box and understand that failing does not make you a failure. But you know, if you label yourself a failure, then you put a lid upon your future. Isn't that so true? I did it. Wrong thinking can hold you back from the great life that God has in store for you. Amen? Now, we've all been subjected to words that should not have been said to us. We've all seen images that we shouldn't have seen. We've all had wrong life information dumped on us that we didn't need to have. And while you can't undo the past, you certainly can do something about today and about your future. Think about this. Your future, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the kind of person you are and what's happening will be determined by the mind food you're feeding on today. If you don't like what's happening in your life today, maybe it's time to change your mind food. So if you're going to step into the blessings of God, then we've got to cut off, or at the very least, limit those sources of mind food that continues to breed stinking thinking in our minds. Don't feed on stuff that is negative all the time and faith destroying. Why go there? Don't walk with the wicked and pick up their worldview. Why do that? Psalm 1 makes it clear. The first step towards closing the gap between God's blessing that is described in Psalm 23 and your daily life experience is to stop making those mind food sources that have no respect for God your primary life influence. Did I say it clear enough? I did, didn't I? Hey, I got the words out right. Hey, audit your mind food sources and make an adjustment in the name of Jesus. Psalm 1 verse 2 tells us the second step to closing the gap. I said, you know, there's two parts to this. To closing the gap between the blessing of God that Jesus provided for us and our daily experience. So we're talking about cutting off the rubbish. Then it says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates, thinks on his law day and night. That's talking about the Bible. This verse is talking about mind food, the mind food diet. Verse 1 says, stop making those mind food sources that have no respect for God your primary life influence. And this verse, verse 2, really is saying, make the Bible, the Word of God, your primary life influence. It will change your life, and you'll see that in just a moment. When Ben and Cherie, and we all know they're going to be having a baby, and the date's been adjusted from January 19th now to January the 11th. And I think Cherie's birthday is on January the 12th. 10th. How exciting. Anyway, forget about the baby. Ben and Cherie, they're having a baby. Did I tell you they're having a baby? And she's getting a little bit of a tummy as well. Yeah, anyway. Ben, actually I thought Ben was getting a bit of a tummy as well, but anyway, that's another thing. Ben and Cherie live with us. And when Ben and Cherie live with us, Ben was often getting us all, whether we wanted it or not, to eat superfoods to improve. You remember that, Rochelle? Kale and whatever. To improve our health. And I struggled to eat the superfoods that Ben brought home because I didn't like the taste. I was accustomed to the flavors of the less healthy foods that I normally consumed. Nonetheless, I never for one minute doubted the supreme value of superfoods. I don't doubt it today. They have great value. And Ben never had to convince me of the health benefits of superfoods. However, Ben would try and motivate me to change my diet by making me feel bad. And by trying to make me feel guilty if I did not eat the superfoods that he recommended. I've often found that when you change your food diet, you have to persevere until you acquire the taste for the new food. And I think we all understand this. And once you've acquired the taste, then you look forward to eating the new food and it becomes part of your regular diet. We all understand that. The Bible is your mind's superfood. And there's no doubting. Nobody doubts in this room. Nobody doubts the great value of reading and thinking about the teachings in the Bible. You don't need to be convinced. We all know the Bible is good for us. Absolutely. But when you've not acquired the taste for the Bible, you settle for the flavors of the less healthy mind foods that you're used to. That's why we've got a gap. And God forbid today that I try and motivate anyone in this room to read your Bible by making you feel guilty because you haven't. God forbid that I would make anybody feel that they have to, you know, that they're obliged to read the Bible when they don't really desire doing that. I don't want to do that. But I do want to say this. Some people really get sick. I've got friends who are really sick. Some people who belong to this church. I've got some real health battles. Some people get sick, maybe they get cancer. And sometimes, for the sake of their survival, some of my friends, and you've got friends too, they've had to change their food diet. And they have to stop eating things like red meat and sugars and all of that sort of stuff. And they have to consume healthy food. So whether they've acquired a taste for the healthy food or not, actually is no longer important. Getting well somehow now is what's really important when you're sick. Having a future is important. Recovering is important. Even if the food tastes like rubbish, it doesn't matter. Getting well is more important. And I think you're getting the analogy here. Living in the blessings of God that Jesus Christ has given to us through the cross is about us all getting well. And most Christians, you know, don't get this. Most Christians don't grasp how severely damaged people we all are. And we become damaged because we've been part of this fallen world. And you can be born again, but there's a lot of damage, emotional damage, soul damage, thinking damage that you're walking around with. And making the Bible your primary life influence is about you getting well. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind is about you getting well. And so, for the sake of being restored, it means that you've got to go and you figure out for yourself, and we'll help you, but you go and figure out a routine of feeding your mind and your heart on the Holy Scriptures so that you can become healthy and whole. You know, I'm doing my best to preach week in and week out, but you can't survive on a 30-minute sermon every week. You got to learn to dig into God's Word for yourself. You imagine if you only ate one meal a week, you become skinny. But you all know what I mean. So I know the Bible, there's different versions. I've been reading the Bible a long time. I read the Bible before I came to church. I've acquired a taste. But I know, you know, sometimes we haven't acquired the taste. It's an old, ancient book. I understand all of that. But it's not about an acquired taste. It's not about doing the churchy religious thing. It's about you having a meaningful and blessed future. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, God, you God, will keep in perfect peace. That means to be whole and healthy in every way. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. God wants you well, absolutely. God wants your future to be better than your past. So close the gap between the blessings described in 23 and what you experience in your daily life. You can do that. And then Psalm 1 verse 3, and I'll finish with this very quickly in a moment, but it says Psalm 1 verse 3 describes what will happen to the person who changes their primary life influence to the Bible. It says this, that person. This is really a summary of Psalm 23, really. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, come on, whatever they do, it prospers. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to live in the blessings of Psalm 23, everybody? Then mind the